my friends, and welcome to the Paula Gordon Show, Conversations with People at the Leading Edge. I'm Paula. For a nation's citizens to govern instead of being ruled, we must know what's going on, and we must be free to criticize our leaders. That's exactly why the First Amendment is the first amendment to the United States Constitution, says our guest Anthony Lewis. This distinguished journalist has written a biography of the First Amendment, Freedom for the Thought That We Hate. But Mr. Lewis says even the savvy founding fathers could not foresee today's threats to free speech, especially the power of money, with huge corporations owning and controlling our democratic lifeline, the mass media.
The First Amendment doesn't really speak to the power of money over, shall we say, broadcast networks or newspapers. In newspapers, which I know more about, the kind of independence and courage we look for that you and I have been talking about comes mostly from family ownership. When a newspaper becomes part of a great big corporation or chain, it loses that quality, that individual quality of determination and pluck that we look for. It doesn't have to, but it tends to.
Anthony Lewis has twice won the Pulitzer Prize in his long journalistic career. From 1969 through 2001, he was a columnist for the New York Times op-ed page and for many years the paper's London correspondent. His book about the Times, Gideon's Trumpet, has been in print continuously for over 40 years. Mr. Lewis has been a lecturer at Harvard's Law School, a visiting professor at the Universities of California, Illinois, Oregon, and Arizona, and since 1983, the James Madison Visiting Professor at Columbia University. Mr. Lewis's wife is Chief Justice of the Massachusetts Supreme Court. Bill Russell and I greatly admire Mr. Lewis's long-standing journalistic integrity. We also share his concern for democracy and for free speech. So we were delighted when Mr. Lewis's book, Freedom for the Thought That We Hate, a biography of the First Amendment, provided the perfect opportunity to welcome him to this conversation. Anthony Lewis, I had the occasion yesterday to be quoting Abraham Lincoln, the government must be by the people, for the people, of the people, and that it should not perish from the earth. And the notion that this is continuing to be a lively subject stayed with me as I was getting ready for this morning and your biography of the First Amendment, which you call Freedom for the Thought We Hate. The idea that an idea, a word, can have a pulse and be lively and get sick and have a real life force, as a biography implies, took me straight back to Lincoln, of how do you make sure that a people can govern themselves, and the freedom for the thought we hate, the First Amendment, is right in the middle of this story of vibrance and life, isn't it?
The problem that you refer to is the one that preoccupied the framers of our Constitution, James Madison and the rest. How can we get the citizens of a republic, which they were creating, the first ever of continental size and diverse population, how can we get them to be the ultimate sovereigns of the country? How can they perform that function? They have to know what's going on. They have to be free to criticize their leaders. That's the First Amendment. And without it, we wouldn't be the society we are.
Both for speech and for action.
Yes. Yes. We have to be free to know what's happening and do something about it.
I grew up in a time when I went through school, the overall impression, sort of the potted history, was that we, America, had perfected democracy. And that we had, you know, we had this war and then we had a civil war to work out some of the details and that we lived happily ever after and that we had reached a more or less perfect state of democracy and now all we could do is share it with the rest of the world.
Or force it on.
Share it in some fashion or other. And I think that, obviously that's not true, but I think that perspective has been extraordinarily damaging to our sense of how important the ongoing struggle is, and I was doubly struck by the biography of the First Amendment and how slowly it has moved into the popular culture. We think that, you know, once there was a Constitution, that was done, or Constitution and a Bill of Rights, and it's just simply not the case.
Not at all. The First Amendment was added to the Constitution in 1791. It wasn't enforced. We're talking now about the freedom of expression clauses in the First Amendment, right, which read, Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, 14 words. Those words were not enforced by the Supreme Court in favor of any would-be speaker or publisher until 1931, 140 years later. And then, in the next 60 years, thanks to creative, bold, sensible judges who understood what this country was about, the First Amendment was in essence, applied to a whole variety of our lives, a whole vast series of aspects of our lives, so that we do have protection from the courts when we exercise our right to say something different, unusual, in conflict with majority opinion, whatever.
From the courts and by the courts, so that we are protected from them as well as by them.
Oh, absolutely. The courts can't stop us from speaking. That was the Pentagon Papers case when the New York Times published the secret history of the origins of the Vietnam War. And first, the courts agreed with the Nixon administration to shut us up, us, the New York Times, for which I then worked.
Yes, indeed. And
eventually the Supreme Court said, no, you can't shut them up.
And that flexibility, that pulse, is as extant in the process itself as it is for the rest of us. Anthony Lewis will be back with us in a moment. I'm Paula Gordon, Bill Russell. The three of us return shortly. Please do join us for a great deal more. Freedom for the thought we hate.